I've been asked by this young lady here to give her a moment with you, our congregation. So here you are.
Good morning, everybody. That's okay. They can hear me.
Sure.
I'm sure. I didn't know what to do it in front of the children because I love them so much. Our family is transitioning. I was divorced for a long time and very untrusting of people and of myself. And over the past week, I feel as though he has spoken to me, and there's a reason why. I feel like he's a reason why Kyle is in my life, and Kyle's boys. And I would just ask if you guys could just pray for our little family of five, because when you have a large dynamic of exes and children and school and sports and activities, and you yourself are trying to make positive changes, it can be a lot and it can be overwhelming. But I ask that you not just pray for he and I, pray for our kids, that they see the positive changes, and that that God can speak to them too, because each of them in their own way have challenges. So, good morning and thank you.
Thank you for being brave, and you're going to hear why you did that here in just a moment. Hand her a Kleenex, would you? Right there's a box. Thank you.
Yes, I need a box.
Praise God. Thank you for your testimony. That you're not supposed to wait until you get well to come to the Lord, because you can't do that. It's impossible. You need to come to the Lord to get well. And it's a lifelong process. And listening to the Holy Spirit, and when you do that, he says that not only will he give you the courage and the boldness, he will actually give you the words. Praise God. You're listening. Thank you. It made my day. A whole bunch of things have made my day. You've all made my day. Now I want to share the Lord's word with you. Christy, I didn't forget about you. I'm going to use you as an example this morning. Will you turn? Is this off? Okay. Christy Fowler this week was rushed to the hospital. It was her second time to be rushed. And then they finally said, we're going to go to Columbus to get this thing checked out, because they thought it was her heart. And many people have been praying and got to Columbus, and they've ruled out her heart. They said her heart is just fine, that it must be something else. Now, there's other dynamics going on in Christy's life, other medical issues with the entire family. And Poppy's here with us. God bless you. And he's a little lightheaded this morning. And Christy's a little lightheaded this morning. And she said she's taking a pill that kind of makes her want to get drowsy and sleepy. And I said, you know what? There's no better place to come than Vanderhoof to sleep. Because everybody does. And I said, you need to hook up with Ruth. You guys could just, you know, do that together. And Ruth agreed. And Poppy, you might as well get in the middle of them. That'd be a thorn between two roses, right? I know he does. That's why I'm saying it. Yeah, exactly. So you're here. Thank God you're here. Thank God you're here. You're here. God's real. God causes things to happen positively in our life when we seek him for real change. And that is exactly what God's going to tell us this morning. When we moved past resurrection morning, we moved into a discovery portion of God, of Jesus, of his Holy Spirit, of the work that He does in our lives when we allow Him to. We've seen so many things happen. We saw Jesus appear. We saw these disciples that were scared to death that they were going to be murdered, hide in buildings. And then last week we got to Pentecost and we saw the Lord actually be taken up into heaven where He belongs. And He left His Holy Spirit here, rained down fire upon those who were seeking Him. They were so frightened, they were so scared for their lives that there wasn't anyone in the world at that point that was seeking help more than those 11 disciples. Do you understand that? In the entire believing faith world, there was no 11 people who were seeking God more than those 11 disciples of Christ. What happened to the 12th one? You know what happened to the 12th one, right? He denied who Christ was. He gave Him up. And Judas Iscariot went and hanged himself. The 11 that were left were instructed by Jesus Christ, my Savior, wait on the Spirit, and I will empower you and give you boldness. And it happened, and it rained down on them, and the day of Pentecost came. And the day of Pentecost, just so you all understand what I'm talking about here, it's not some day that we should be afraid of. It was just a celebration. But God knew, Jesus knew, the Holy Trinity knew that there would be more people gathering in Jerusalem than at any other time of the year, 50 days after the Feast of the Passover. And that was the time for His church to get started. And so on the day, that day of celebration, when everybody was gathered, and it said in my Bible that people were gathered there from all over the known world of Judaism. So the most people that could be gathered in one spot were there. And there God unleashed His Holy Spirit power on those disciples. And He gave them unusual talent that day to speak. But He also opened the ears of those who were seeking. Are you with me? This is more important than any speaking in tongues. The most important thing that happened that day of Pentecost was that people who were seeking God had their ears opened and they heard. And over 3,000 just average, everyday individuals that had gone to church, over 3,000 people accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Powerful stuff. Powerful. And it kept going, and it kept going. And then you have the book of the Acts of the Apostles, and we just got done studying that. But you see, as we study the New Testament, it's supposed to be a guidebook as to what we're supposed to do after that day of Pentecost. But you see, that was over 2,000 years ago. So what do we do today? What do we do? What do we tell our graduates? What do we tell our kids? What do we tell those that are seniors in high school next year? What do we tell the juniors, the sophomores, the freshmen? How do we tell them to handle these struggles that they have in their life? How do we tell moms and dads and blended families how to get over these hurdles that happen in their life? And you know they happen, right? Do people die, Sally? John Mark, do people die? Do people get sick? People have heart problems, Gary? The Lord would have me be honest with you. Honest. John 16:33 says this. You don't need to turn there. You can if you want. John 16:33 says that in this world you will have trials and tribulations. You will. You will. It's a promise from Jesus Christ's mouth. In this world you will have trials and you will have tribulations. But then Jesus says this great thing. But rejoice, for I have overcome the world. And if you're a follower and a believer of Jesus Christ, because He overcame, you're an overcomer. Hannah, you're an overcomer. Ben, you're an overcomer. You believe in Jesus Christ. You both got up here, walked in the waters, and it's not the water. The water doesn't wash away sin. Your kneeling and submitting to God and His Holy Spirit is what takes away sin. through the power and the person of Jesus Christ. Every time we move forward from the resurrection day, we have to take a step back to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because what I'm supposed to do and what you're supposed to do is be ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're supposed to tell people the good news. Look what God did in my life. Share it. DJ, right? Share it. God's working through this young man mightily right now. He's not on overtime, DJ. It's normally what he does. And he's doing the same thing for me. And I'm not just pointing DJ out. I could be pointing anybody out in here that I know that's having a relationship with Jesus Christ. He's real. He's working in your life. He's working for your benefit. He only wants what's best for you. He doesn't want the garbage to be part of your life. Are you listening? God does not want garbage to be part of your life. You remember Joshua back in the Old Testament? See, we need to back up and look at all the examples that God gives us to get power to move forward. This is a book of knowledge. This is like turning on your phone and Googling everything. You don't need, this is the first Google there ever was. Because the power of life is in this book. You turn the pages, you read the pages. If you ask God to help you, if you will read your Bible, you will get power and strength. God guarantees it if you seek Him. You know what I heard? I'm going to talk about Joshua in just a second. You know what I heard yesterday? How many of you, I ask this question often. It's all right, Lisa, they're doing great. If we don't hear the voices of the kids in here, find another church. If they get too loud, take them to the crying room. If they get really a lot louder, we have switches and hammers and everything else back there. Who has a cell phone? Okay, put your hand down. Who has a cell phone with you right now, on you, on your person, or in your purse? Who has it? Put your hand down. How many times have you checked it since you've been in church? No, not how many. How many of you have checked it since you've been in church? Put your hands up. Come on, be honest. My wife put her hand up. She's, your granddaughter's looking at pictures on your phone. To appease them, right? Yeah. We check our phones on average every 12 seconds. Now, I said minutes before. I'm getting to that. When you are in a conversation with someone and you're texting back and forth, you are checking your phone every 12 seconds to see what has happened last. If that's not happening in your life, you are checking your phone every 12 minutes to see if something's happening. What did you do with those 12 minutes and 12 seconds before you had an iPhone? What did you do with it? Do you understand that every 12 minutes, have you ever plugged that into your clock? Every 12 minutes, you're checking your phone. Do you think it's possible for all of you that put your hands up this morning that you could check your Bible with me for the rest of the time we have together? Huh? You think you can leave that thing alone? Mine's in the Jeep. First thing I'll do when I get in the Jeep is check that phone. You know I will. I'm not going to lie to you. I said I'm going to be honest with you this morning. But I try to do it less and less. Right, honey? Been working on it. Did I ask you, Lisa? You know what Joshua said in the Old Testament? You know, he's the one that God said, run around seven times around this wall, around this city. I'm going to give you this city. All you have to do is put me out in front. Remember him? Take the Ark of the Covenant. Take the priest. Don't say a word for six times. Just walk around this thing. Walk around it and walk around it and walk around it. And then on the seventh time around, on the seventh day, what was he supposed to do? Shout and blow the trumpets. And what happened? And the walls came tumbling down. At least you know the song, right? What was he doing those 7 days? He was submitting to the instructions of the Lord. In the Old Testament, way more than many times than I can even think of, it says God put his Holy Spirit to work in behalf of those people. God wasn't literally, physically walking along with them. They had the Ark of the Covenant and the laws that God had given them. It was there as a symbol to them, but it was God's Holy Spirit that was traveling with them, that provided the cloud by day and the sun by night, the fire by night. And when we read the Old Testament, every time someone obeys God and does what he says, they receive a blessing. And God prospers them. Did I spit on anybody? Move up closer. God wants to prosper you. Brian, that's all right. Never mind. You can put it up at the end. That was Joshua. And then he said this at the end of his ministry when he's trying to tell the people what to do. He said, as for me and my house, what? You can find that in in Joshua 25:15, if you need to know where that is. On occasion, as we think about God and give him his rightful place in our life, when we adorn him with praise and put him up here where he belongs, right? Where's God? Doesn't God belong up here first? When we adorn him, when we put him up here in his rightful place, and we say things and mean it. See, Joshua, he got it right. He said, if you don't mean this, don't say it. That's what I was trying to tell the kids this morning. I'm trying to tell all you young people and moms and dads and anybody suffering and trying to recover and anybody looking for prosperity. You can turn your TV on and watch all the prosperity gospel you want, and you can send them all the dollars you want, and it won't do you a lick of good until you decide that you're going to honor God, lift him up, put him in his rightful place in your life, and pray to him and seek him. And then he says, if you will do that, and that's what Joshua said, don't say this. You read that portion in chapter 25. Joshua says, don't you even think about saying this. Unless you mean it. Because we've been through too much together. It's been too hard. It's been too difficult. We've been through hell together. Don't let this happen again in our life. Use God's Holy Spirit in your behalf. He wants to comfort you. He wants to be your friend. He wants to be your aid. He wants to be by your side all the time. He wants to be right here. He wants to bless your marriage. He wants to bless your divorce. If that's what it is, if you have to go through that, then you have to go through it, then he wants to be right there with you. And some people would say, that pastor Vanderhoof is crazy. No, I'm not, because it's going to happen in some people's lives. Yes, it is. It's unfortunate, but it happens. But if you seek God going through that, you will find that he will prosper the end of it. It might be hell getting through it, but he's going to see you through. I prayed that prayer with Marilyn Gallagher every time I was with her. God will see you through. God will see you through. and Marilyn couldn't speak at the last, well, actually she did last Sunday, spoke to us. And she said, yeah, when we prayed that prayer with her, Marilyn said, yes, he will. You've got to give him the glory. There she was in a chair. She couldn't move, just one or two little fingers and blink her eyes and still praising God. She did something with her 12 minutes other than check her phone. She checked her heart. She checked her relationship with God. And thank you, community, for all of you who visited her and for all of you who visit those in the nursing homes. Thank you. Thank you for pouring your heart out to these people. They need you so much. They need to know that there's some people there, that there's someone there that will believe with them and help lead them over. Jesus is waiting on the other side, but we're on this side, and we need to help each other when we're in distress. And you need to call on the power that's there, and it's God's Holy Spirit. He's there with you. He's there to lead you. He's there to guide you. And He wants to prosper you. I haven't even gotten to Jeremiah yet. It looks like I'm going to have to preach on this 4 or 5 Sundays in a row. Unless you want to stay. We have one little bottle of water. We could share it. Is there more in the back, George? God said He will see you through. And the prophet Jeremiah said, God's going to see us through this. Now we go from Joshua to the prophet Jeremiah, and I talked to you about that this morning. God told Jeremiah to tell his people, I want my desire, my hope, my love for you is to prosper you, not to harm you, but to lift you up and to see you through. But Jeremiah was told to tell them, you must seek me and pray to me. Anybody can say, oh God. The New Testament's full of that too. Anybody can say, oh God, help them. But do we seek Him? What are we doing? What if you just gave Him 12 seconds of real, on your knees, praying once a day? I'm serious. This world has got a hold of us. We're so busy, busy, busy. Right, Rich? Song couldn't have been any better. The morning couldn't have been any better than it is right now. What I heard yesterday about the cell phones couldn't have been any more timely. What if we just gave Him the 12 seconds? And it's not just 12 seconds. You see, that same thing I heard was when we're in that conversation, we check it at least, at the minimum, every 12 seconds to see if we've had a response. How many times a day do we go to the Lord and say, I want to listen. I want to be still. I want to repeat Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am Lord. And give Him, just count it, 12 seconds. And then heaven forbid, what if we gave Him 12 minutes? What if we just said, Lord, I'm going to stop everything I'm doing. I seek you through your Holy Spirit. You see, Jesus said, I must go away from here. It's going to be better for you if I do. Because when I go, when I'm lifted up and return to my place in heaven, I will send my Holy Spirit to indwell you. I want to be not just with you. He wants to be in you. Jesus said, I am in Him, He is in me. He who sent me is He who made me. I am the one who made you. I am God, I am He, we're all one. And then Christ said, if you will submit to me and look at me and pray to me and accept me for who I am, then he said, he used the we word. He said, we will come and dwell with you. It's the Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord caused this beautiful young lady with this beautiful young family to stand up here this morning. She doesn't know you. But I think she knows that we've tried to welcome her family into this place so that you're not a stranger here. You don't need to be a stranger here. You need to be part of the family. The family that says, thank you, Jesus, for you leaving your Holy Spirit with me to indwell me, to come in, be with me. And then we could start off by saying, Father God, in Jesus' name, today I'll give you 12 seconds. And tomorrow, maybe I'll give you 15 seconds. And young people, when you go away to college or wherever it is that you're going, could you remember? Could you remember just at some point in your really busy day to say, thank you, Lord, for the person that led me to Jesus Christ? And thank you, Christ, for what you've done in my life. Just say that little prayer. Just by recognizing who he is, it will empower you. And God will seek to prosper you because you have sought him out. He's a good and a gracious and a wonderful God who loves you desperately and wants only the best for you. We have just a couple minutes left. I want to go over just some of the things that the Holy Spirit can help you with. It's really rather simple. It's A through F. I'm not even going to go to the scripture about it. We'll do that some other time. This has been on my heart for so long. It's time that this church and all of us start seeking more of the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. There's work to be done. There's much to be done. Vacation Bible School is not just a thing on the map for us around here. We truly are serious about helping these children find Christ and see him. We want them to know that Christ exists because of the way we treat them. But here are some things that the Holy Spirit can help you with today. He can indwell you because it's God's promise that he says, if you will seek me and you will admit who I am, we will come and dwell with you. He will fill you. And this is the greatest thing about Christ. When you're going through a crisis and you feel empty, when you lean on him and pray to him, you can get filled up with his Holy Spirit and you won't feel so alone. And you students that are going away, if you have a blue day, if you have a down day, ask God, just ask him to come in and fill you up for that day. Call mom and dad. Yeah, call them. Call them. Call them on that cell phone of yours. Text them. Do whatever. I mean, it's a miracle. We want to stay in touch with our family so much, but anymore we won't talk to them. We'll text them. We'll burn the phone up. We can't find them. We'll put locators on. I just put a locator on my phone this week so that all my kids can know exactly where I am all the time. That's dangerous stuff. Call God once in a while. Make it a 12-second call to get started. He can fill you up. He can do that for you. He can indwell you. He can fill you. He can sanctify you. That means set you aside from the crowd. I can say this without any exception in my mind. Our young people here, the ones that we honored this morning, Ben and Hannah and Rachel, I can say without a doubt they are different than the crowd. Thank God you are different than the crowd. I mean, I applaud you for being different. Separate yourself from the crowd. Don't run with the crowd. You're liable to get killed. You know the old running of the bulls thing? Don't do that. You're liable to step in something if you get behind them, Richard. Get sanctified, get set aside. If His Holy Spirit's with you, you will produce good fruit in your life, I'll tell you that. And you kids are already, and let me call you kids just for another minute or two, is that okay? You kids are producing good fruit in your life. I know of the good things that you're doing. I know of them. And I am grateful for your moms, your dads, and those good people surrounding you. Thank God. And I'm grateful for these little ones that are here that you are bringing them to worship. Then He can impart His gifts upon you, and the gifts of the Holy Spirit will make your life so much easier. Because then you will be able to become involved with other people who believe like you. Accept one of His gifts, whether it's cleaning the rugs or preaching from a pulpit or being a missionary or whatever gift it is, He will give you a gift. And I know that many of you students are even teaching others right now, taking your time to teach others. And then lastly, He will teach you to be a believer. And as I lettered these, I got to F and I thought, you're graduating from high school and college and the last thing you want is an F. But you see, this letter F means to me, not fatal, it means that you're a finisher. You'll start the work that God started in you. In fact, Paul said that. He said, I believe that the Lord will finish the work He started in me until that day comes and I'm called home. Right, George? If the Lord has started a work in you, whoever you are, and especially these young people that we love so much, the Lord has started a work in you and He will see to it that He finishes that work until He decides to take you home. And He will keep you being a believer. And the Lord has started a work in your family. He started a work in your family. Seek Him. Let Him have you. He's the only person in this world, in this universe of universes, that I promise you will never hurt you. Because He seeks to prosper you. And He has nothing but good for you. And He wants you to be a finisher. He wants you to be a finalist. He wants you to be the gold medal winner. And if you will honor Him, He will honor His promise. I promise you that. Holy Spirit, thank you for indwelling this place this day. Thank you for the blessedness of this congregation and of these children. May God's blessing be upon you all the days of your life. Let's pray.